Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, all right, got Friday going, so in a couple of hours, we'll have visitors. It's the Moistline people. And we do have the mob members coming in, along with Svetlana, to lead them. We are going to throw a hack in the dumpster this Friday afternoon at 5:35. The only hint you'll get is that somebody's been in the news way too much the past year and finally got their comeuppance. I like that word, comeuppance.
Comeuppance. Comeuppance. That's a good word, yeah.
All right.
How are we doing now, on the guest here?
Oh, coming. Any second. Okay. We're going to talk to Kathy Cady, is a former deputy district attorney, and she has now become an attorney for Marcy's Law. All right, ready? Okay, good. Attorney for Marcy's Law clients. Marcy's Law is the law that
it's
was passed.
Rights.
It was victims' rights. Yeah, for the families, or for the victims themselves, if they're still alive.
We got it on the ballot. The people did and passed it because the legislature was doing nothing, and it's got a whole list of things to protect the rights of victims and their families. And this George Gascon seems to violate a lot of that.
Listen to this case, November 2018. A 16-year-old girl named Sierra Brown and her 27-year-old sister, Uniac Sauvenet Akins. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. They were both found dead in their apartment, multiple gunshot wounds. Sierra's ex-boyfriend, Donato Cruikshank, set the apartment on fire after killing the sisters. So we have this man who was just short of 18, killing both sisters, multiple gunshot wounds, and then setting the apartment on fire. George Gascon wants to try him as a juvenile, not an adult, which means he would get out by age 25. And so that would, my God, he's already 20, I would guess, right? Yeah, he's already 20. So what, he would get out in 5 years?
Yeah, 2018 this happened, so he's probably 20, yeah.
Let's get Kathy Cady on.
At least 19.
Kathy, how are you? Kathy?
Hello.
Welcome to the John and Ken Show. Thanks for coming on. Is she not hearing?
Kathy, can you hear us? All right, we may have to get that fixed.
All right, Doug. She was okay on our end.
We can hear her, yes.
She's a retired deputy district attorney, and she works pro bono.
The family had a Zoom call with Gascon back in December. They asked Gascon to consider the severity of this case, but the family said it has led them nowhere. He does not want to make an exception, Gascon, to his wanting to try this man.
Hello?
As a juvenile.
Kathy Cady, are you on? Hello, Kathy.
You know, the definition of insanity is just keep repeating the same thing.
Kathy,
over and over
can
again.
You hear us?
No, we have something wrong in the studio with the buttons. Something's not.
Okay. Well.
And I can tell you from personal experience today. I think that's what's going on because I had a little trouble getting on the air. There's something weird going on today.
It might be Gascon is jamming our equipment. He's sick of all the criticisms.
One of the family members said that he told us, Gascon, he would get back to us. Then he never did. Even Fox 11 reached out to Gascon for comment, and we were told he was moved by the tragedy, plans to give the family counseling service opportunities.
Counseling service?
That's it.
Oh, are you people still grieving 2 years after those murders? Really? Okay.
Incarcerating youths for decades before they fully develop their cognitive skills significantly increases their chance of committing future offenses.
That's
a statement the office put out.
That's garbage. There's maybe six people in the world who believe that. What you have is a psychotic brain.
Oh, this is evil.
I mean, if we actually had time to read the research on a psychotic brain in a teenager, it would be clear that psychotic brains stay that way until the day you die. There's actually a different sculpture of the brain. If you did a scan on it, it looks different. It's missing something, which houses the conscience, which houses impulse control. And that's true. I remember we had a guy on once who wrote a book on why sociopaths are sociopaths, and it's because there is one section of the brain that's not fully developed. And he discovered this in himself. He was looking at slides of brains to identify the sociopaths. He had put his in the pile, and not knowing it was his, he identified himself as a sociopath and then examined his life and realized he was. So that's what the problem is. And Gascon, of course, would not sit still for 5 minutes with anybody to discuss. It's a biological problem. It's where evil is housed.
Kathy writes also, in the past 2 months, she's represented approximately 50 victims, almost all of them families of murder victims. Each one of these cases is heartbreaking. They've all been negatively impacted by Gascon's unlawful policies. Why don't we take an early break?
Okay.
See if we cannot establish this communication with Kathy. I'm just telling you, today's a weird day because something happened with my hookup that was weird. And for her for us to hear her and not us, her to hear us.
That almost never happens.
All right, that's exactly what I'm saying, right?
We got her on a regular line instead of the hotline, so we'll get to Kathy Cady in a second. We're going to get her on no matter what because this is extremely important. The recall starts next week of George Gascon, and you need to know why he must be recalled. John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show rolls on here. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I believe we're all plugged in now, so we can start talking to Kathy Cady. Kathy Cady is a retired deputy district attorney, and she's working pro bono as a Marcy's Law attorney. Marcy's Law was the referendum passed years ago to give victims rights when they or family members suffered in a crime. Back in November 2018, two sisters were shot dead, 16-year-old Sierra Brown, 27-year-old Uniac Sauvignette Akins. Sisters found dead in their apartment. Sierra's ex-boyfriend, Donato Cruikshank, killed the two women and set the apartment on fire. Cruikshank was arrested. He was just short of turning 18, which means that George Gascon wants to prosecute him as a juvenile instead of an adult, which means he could get out at the age of 25. According to my math, that would be 5 years. The family has gotten nowhere with Gascon, and we're going to talk now with Kathy Cady, the attorney here. Kathy, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for your patience. I think we got everything reconnected here. All right. Explain what the case is with Gascon and the frustration the family is having here.
Well, so what I can tell you is this particular case is just outrageous. The facts of what this particular defendant did in terms of killing two young women and leaving three young children without mothers, and then trying to cover it up with an arson, is just one of the most egregious cases that has occurred. The case occurred 2 years ago, as you were mentioning, and the district attorney's office was well on its way to attempting to transfer the defendant up to adult court, which is where he should still be held in this case. But unfortunately, because of Gascon's policies, and these are his blanket policies, which say that no minor in any circumstance should ever be handled in adult court, the district attorney who was handling the case was forced to withdraw the transfer motion to go up to adult court. The family and I met with Mr. Gascon, and really other than saying that he was sorry for their loss, he offered no explanation for why he would not make an exception in this really egregious case. The family is devastated, and they still actually have not heard from him or his office in terms of an explanation as to why he would not make an exception to his blanket policy. Minors, of course. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just to be clear, this guy could be out at age 25.
Yes, and to be clear, he actually could be out earlier. So, if he stays in juvenile court, it's up to the place where he is housed in terms of when he would be released. But the maximum amount of time that he could serve would be up to when he's 25 years old.
All right, and he's about 20 now. He just turned 20.
Yes, he did.
So maximum, he'd be out in 5 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, it says here you filed some
young women.
You filed a request to disqualify the DA's office from handling this case. How does that work?
I did. Well, unfortunately, the judge did not grant that. There is actually no penal code section that allows for that. That's because usually the district attorney is going to be trying to protect victims' rights and ensure that justice is found for the victims of these horrible crimes. But Gascon has essentially stopped doing that. He talks about this parallel system of justice where all he is willing to offer victims are services. So he essentially is coming in, violating their rights, not allowing them an opportunity to come in and to be heard and to make sure that their voice is heard through the process. And then in response, he's willing to offer them counseling to try to help them cope with the fact that he has created this incredible injustice in the system.
The two sisters get gunned down to death and then burned in the apartment, and he offers you a counselor in return.
Yes.
What was the motive for this attack? I mean, this is pretty vicious. What was going on with Donato Cruikshank? He was the ex-boyfriend of the younger girl, Sierra.
Correct. So, you know, we don't know exactly, of course. It could be that they had an argument. We don't know. What we do know is that she, the girlfriend, had stippling on her neck where the gunshot was, which essentially means that she was shot at close range, and then her sister was shot from a distance. So, you know, of course, none of us were there. We don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that she was shot at close range, and then her sister was shot from a distance.
And then so how did he set the fire?
Well, I don't know exactly what he used to set the fire, but I know that he set the apartment on fire, and that's essentially what uncovered his crime. So it was the fire department that responded to the apartment to try to put out the fire, and they are the ones who discovered the two murdered victims inside. Thankfully, they were able to put out the fire before it went to the other residents of the apartment. There were, you know, this was, I don't know exactly the number of apartments, but this was a rather large apartment complex. And, you know, so thankfully they were able to put the fire out and no one else was injured in the fire.
But this is extremely vicious.
Is this prosecutorial discretion, or is he violating any laws?
Well, he does have prosecutorial discretion, of course. But using prosecutorial discretion means that you actually use it. And he, by his blanket policy, is essentially saying that he's not willing to use it, that he's going to make a blanket policy that under no circumstances will any minor ever be transferred over to adult courts to be handled as an adult. You know, many minors could be handled in juvenile court. That's exactly where they belong. But for cases like this, where you have such an incredibly vicious, brutal, violent attack where you have two young women whose lives were cut short, this is exactly the type of case where he should use his discretion. And, you know, frankly, people who are listening who are just as outraged as we are, they should call. They should call the office and they should let him know that they find this particularly offensive. You know, he still has time to change his mind. And
you have a lot more cases, you tell us, too, huh? Murder cases?
I do. Yes, yes. Unfortunately, since his directives came in, which have blatantly violated victims' rights, and as you know, some of them have been found unlawful, victims' lives have just been upended. So prosecutors were ordered to go in and to make various motions to dismiss or to try to get cases out of juvenile or to keep them in juvenile court and have them not go to adult court. And there was nothing in his policies that reminded prosecutors, hey, make sure you call the victims, explain what's going on. Make sure you listen to what they have to say. See how they feel about this and take that into consideration in deciding whether or not this is a good idea for their particular case, because it, of course, affects their lives. There was nothing in that. So the number of victims that I have spoken to who really feel like, you know, that just everything has been taken out of their belief that the system is going to offer them any kind of justice. And, of course, prosecutors who are doing their very, very best and always have done their best to try to make sure that justice is achieved in all of these cases are being put in a position of telling victims, you know, this isn't really what I want to do. I don't think this is the right thing in this case, but I'm being ordered to do that by my boss. And, essentially, I'm concerned for my own job if I don't do it. That's really the unfortunate thing that has happened. And, you know, I I understand his policies in terms of trying to reach some kind of level of reform. I know many people believe in reform. But his policies and the way that he is trying to go about it are so outrageous
You know something? He's not after reform. He's after destruction of the justice system. He uses reform as a talking point so some of his critics back down a little because they can say, oh, well, I see his point on X. But that's a distraction, a diversion. What he really wants is to destroy the system. Because if you don't want to put this guy away after killing two sisters and then burning their apartment, if you don't want to put that guy away beyond age 25, it means you want to destroy the system.
You don't belong in the DA's office.
Nothing needs to be reformed about this particular case. Nothing.
Right.
Kathy, we got to go, but I'm sure we're going to have you on again as the recall progresses with more of these sad but important stories to tell. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Kathy Cady, a former deputy district attorney, and she's now a Marcy's Law attorney. Many people she now represents just in the last 2 months are being affected by George Gascon's policies, and these are often families of murder victims. More coming up.
Gascon recall next week. John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, the news team came down this afternoon that there is some movement to reopen outdoor sports facilities, i.e. Dodger Stadium and theme parks in California. It's pretty restrictive, but come April 1st, there'll be a little bit going on there.
100 people.
Well, if LA County stays in the purple tier, Dodger Stadium would be limited to 100 people for opening day in April.
That is Newsom's definition of open.
Did you see they're freaking out because the case numbers moved up in the last week or two?
They're still extremely low.
And now they want you to double mask.
Yeah. I'm going to double mask.
Although I saw a story this morning, a Japanese researcher saying it really doesn't make much of a difference. It's probably...
They can't stop. You see what they're doing? The days are waning. And they're losing their power and they're panicking.
Oh, no, they believe there's another surge coming.
No.
That's what Barbara Ferrer said. These numbers look like what we had before the November surge.
She wants to hold on to her power and continue bossing people around and bullying them and abusing them. And the media is going to go in lockstep because this is how they make lots of money. They lose ratings and money.
Well, they can't do this forever. They're not being rational.
Yes. You're right. They're not being rational.
With coronavirus fatigue long setting in, a lot of people are tuning out this news.
They're going to do it as long as they think it works or it's the best alternative. What are you going to replace this with? Trump is gone.
CNN, Coronavirus News Network.
Yeah. No, it's CNN is bullcrap.
Yeah, that guy admitted it, that now he's apologizing for the comment that it's good for ratings.
Yeah, right. Which means Trump was right. Trump was right. CNN is fake news. They're manipulating people's emotions by trying to frighten them in order to get ratings and money. That's what people do in the media business. Well, you have to, grow up. You know, I don't understand people. Look at that. It's the media. It's the newscast. You stop it. Those are hard-boiled sociopaths there. They're making tons of money off of you, manipulating your emotions.
What about indoor fitness? We're going to talk about it after 4 o'clock on the John and Ken Show with an attorney. Who says it's time to get the indoor gyms open.
I didn't know we were the only state in the union with complete closure.
The complete closure of indoor workouts, yes.
Yeah,
we are.
Wow. Jesus.
It's bad news for the bugle blower. The Wall Street Journal had a story that they put online late last night, and this ought to take us to court. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's top advisors successfully pushed state health officials to strip a public report of data showing that more nursing home residents had died of COVID-19 than the administration had acknowledged. Now, we kind of knew this story a month or so back, but now it looks like direct intervention by Cuomo's top advisors to make this happen. The July report, which examined the factors that led to the spread of the virus in nursing homes, focused only on residents who died inside long-term care facilities, leaving out those who had died in hospitals after they became sick in the nursing homes. As a result, the report said 6,432 nursing home residents had died. That turned out to be a significant undercount. The initial version of the report said nearly 10,000 nursing home residents had died in New York by July 1st of last year,
yep.
when the true number is now more than 15,000 residents.
And the reason he did this was he knew that his policy, which he signed, led to the deaths of thousands more.
Yes.
And so what he wanted to do was hide them, move them around into other categories so nobody would notice. So if you move these deaths and put them under hospitals, it wouldn't look like the nursing home situation was so bad, because he was directly responsible for many of the deaths in the nursing homes. So this is how you cover it up. Throw it into the big basket of hospitals, because most of the patients died in the hospitals. So what's another, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 more? And this ought to be criminal, you would think.
This policy was put into effect in March, and you're right, it was rescinded in May. And you can see not long after that, his aides were scrambling around to make sure the data didn't show the devastation. That's what they were doing, and they were successful in pressuring this Department of Health to change the data, so that the old people who died in hospitals weren't counted as nursing home deaths, when indeed that's where they were before they were taken to the hospital with bad COVID symptoms.
And at that time is when Cuomo started doing his daily news conferences.
He was a star.
He would do all his opera and drama, and he was starting to get licked all over by the media.
Ought to play this audio.
I know. Well, yeah, we should in the next segment. Do you want to play it now? We got time?
How long is it?
It's, what is it, 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think we have time.
Okay.
Well, it's 42. No, let's take a break. But anyway, yeah, what John's talking about is that a journalist, is that how he's described, put together all the Cuomo-licking stories that began during his daily press conferences during the pandemic. He became a star, eventually led to the term Cuomo-sexuals, which is a reference to both Andrew Cuomo, the governor, and Chris Cuomo, the CNN host. There were people that were just in love with them.
You have reporters, anchors, and late-night hosts like Stephen Colbert and Trevor Noah, who had Cuomo on their shows, and they slobbered all over him. There were pools of their saliva all over his forehead after they were done.
All right, we'll play this report.
Meantime, he was killing thousands and covering up the deaths.
We think you'll enjoy this. We'll play it for you next.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, what about indoor gyms? What's the knock on them? Are they any more dangerous than a lot of other places that got shut down? We'll talk about it with an attorney coming up after the news at 4 o'clock. America's only no indoor fitness state is California at this point. We're talking about the bugle blower in New York. Andrew Cuomo, the Wall Street Journal, found out that a number of his top aides went to the health department there and told them to squash the data concerning the true number of nursing home residents who died from COVID-19, because they had a policy that was in effect for almost 2 months that required nursing homes to take in, quote, recovering COVID-19 patients from hospitals. That could have spread the virus everywhere. So now we got Democratic lawmakers in New York, Democrats, calling for the attorney general to investigate this. Some are now, and by the way, a couple of people that were advisors to Cuomo, part of his task force, and now sort of either saying they had nothing to do with this, or they're gently pointing the fingers at some of Cuomo's other aides.
I think, though,
this thing is really falling apart quickly.
But it all came from Andrew Cuomo. He was a big, blustering bully. He wanted to prove that he was the anti-Trump, that he was competent and compassionate.
Oh, and every day he did a news conference and the media praised him, he felt the power.
Right.
You're right.
And remember,
then he wrote a book.
He wrote a book on it, and they gave him an Emmy. They gave him an Emmy
for his daily
televised press conference. This is what's going on with all these media jackasses. They give him an award.
About what he was saying to young ladies. He killed people. His policies led to the deaths of thousands in these nursing homes.
And then,
you know it.
And then he hid the numbers. Then they lied about hiding the numbers. I don't know how much worse he could have been. And while he was doing it, he was bragging that he had fewer nursing home deaths than the other states. I remember him bragging that New York doesn't have the problem other states have.
He did say that.
Because they erased those numbers. They shoved them under hospital deaths.
They were trying to make some excuse up today with it. We didn't want to include those numbers because the hospital deaths, it was unclear what happened there.
He wanted to be president.
He was worried that Trump was going to have to sick the Department of Justice on him, and supposedly that's why they did
it. Trump would have been right to.
Yeah.
This requires a Department of Justice investigation. So he's been caught, but listen to how the media slobbered all over him.
Yeah, this is something called the Media Research Center. They compiled, it's a video, but we're going to play you the audio. It runs a couple of minutes long of members of the media fawning all over, slobbering over Cuomo. Let's listen.
This has been a remarkable show of leadership by Governor Cuomo in recent days.
Real leadership of the kind the President of the United States should have provided.
Garnering the nickname America's Governor. I think you saw it right there. He is conveying incredible strength in the face of this pandemic.
A few people have a better understanding of how to manage the pandemic than you do.
He's providing hope, but not false hope.
Governor Cuomo has become a national leader.
For a lot of people, Andrew Cuomo has become the leader of the Democratic Party.
Governor Cuomo, I think, is one of the heroes on the front lines.
You spoke to National Guard troops today in a stirring speech that, if I wasn't listening carefully, I thought you were sending soldiers off to war.
Governor, there's so much in this book that I'd love to talk to you about, including the personal side of it.
This book is absolutely fantastic. I think it's just a guide to how to deal with this pandemic.
Governor Cuomo, the book has done just what you suggested. It starts a really important conversation at a very scary time.
It is a book unlike anything ever written by a governor before, because no one has lived through and managed the crisis that he has.
Cuomo is set to receive an International Emmy Award. He's being honored with the Founders Award for using his briefings to inform and calm the public.
His PowerPoints were epic.
Yes.
In the movie of this, when it's finally made, who do you want to have play you?
I think everyone is a big fan of yours right now.
I am a fan of Andrew Cuomo and wish very much that he were president of the United States now.
I mean, isn't he actually? I mean, in a way, he is.
He is president.
Are you thinking about running for president? Tell the audience.
Andrew Cuomo, who has a daily television show now and has become in some ways the shadow president.
Maybe Trump is just a little bit mad that Governor Cuomo has become a kind of acting president.
I think back to, the daily news conferences you would hold.
Many people felt you were the only one who was telling us anything. You know, you gave us hard truths. You didn't try to sugarcoat.
Honest, direct, brave.
It felt like, we are all part of this. We are all in this together.
You really did pull us up and out of the deep muck, and I thank you for that.
Dealing with hardship actually makes you stronger. That's what Governor Cuomo said earlier today. That's what I'm going to go teach my kids right now at home.
Oh, my God. I recognize a number of... I was Whoopi near the end there.
Yeah.
Gayle King is in there several times. Stephen Colbert. Yeah. Trevor Noah. Chris Cuomo shows up in there.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. These are the slobberers.
Oh, my... Doesn't it make you want to vomit?
Oh, man. Look, there was a point there when he was screaming about the ventilators. Remember that?
And he was wrong on that.
And he did kind of reach through the TV set. I used to watch him some mornings because he was very passionate. And he had these displays, graphs, and charts. And it was an interesting watch.
But he wasn't
at the time, we didn't know about the nursing home thing. I'm talking about this is like the first month of this last year.
He wasn't right about the ventilators. He never needed those ventilators.
No, he wasn't right about the ventilators. And then they got their ship, right? Their hospital ship, and that was unused. And the Javits Center was unused.
Yeah. So he didn't use the ship. He didn't use the Javits Center. He didn't need the ventilators, which Trump told him, and everybody beat on Trump for being heartless. Trump was right. Cuomo was wrong. It just makes you want to vomit. Seriously, why would anyone watch a national newscast again? Why would you? Why would you watch any talk show that interviews a politician ever again for the rest of your life?
People were looking, John, for a hero. It was a tough time.
Why?
But they wanted someone to save us.
Why do you need a hero? What are you, 3 years old? You're a grown man or a grown woman. What do you need a hero for?
All right, we're going to talk to an attorney next who represents the California Fitness Alliance. California, the only state with no indoor fitness allowed. Is that right? Is that science-based? We'll talk about it next.
There are no heroes. John and Ken Show. Deborah Marquez, the news, KFI AM 640.